You're listening to Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us right now on the BetDSI.com inside line. He played 13 years in the NFL for the Houston Oilers and Tennessee Titans. Yes, that's the same team. Also, current analyst with SiriusXM NFL. He's Brad Hopkins. I'd be remiss if I also did not introduce him as All-Pro and Pro Bowler, Brad Hopkins. How you doing, brother?
That is completely unnecessary, and I don't go by that. But I do have love and respect for anyone from the 713. So how y'all doing?
Doing all right, man. I'll tell you what, man. You came to Houston at the craziest time ever.
Yeah, that I did. They didn't know what to do with Buddy Ryan and Kevin Gilbride and Jack Pardee trying to keep the circus together. We were pretty entertained, to say the least, my rookie year.
Hey, 11 straight wins and then, you know, the punch scene around the world.
Yeah, and you know what? I actually was the catalyst of that punch. No kidding, because Mike Munchak and I, we got at different levels, and we ended up giving up a sack right before halftime when Buddy thought that we should have, you know, been maybe in a running situation to run out the clock, and that's what basically where the punch came from. Just the, I think that the surprise of the Buddy Ryan, that Kevin overheard him grumbling about Kevin's decision to call the play that ultimately, you know, I gave up a sack on, but that's where the whole discretion started with.
Now, what was Gilbride like to play for?
You know what? That's a good question. I think that he was a veteran coach, and he wasn't a guy that was used to instructing rookies. You know, and I was drafted to start when Don Maggs left for the Broncos, and he's a great coach. I just didn't think he had a lot of patience for people that were still learning, because I never even heard of the damn run and shoot, let alone trying to run it. You know what I mean? So it was, you know, it was an adjustment for me coming from a traditional pro set and having a fullback and tight ends and things of that nature versus, you know, four wide, single set, sometime rolling pocket, you know, just all the things that came with that kind of, you know, keep you off your off balance kind of offense.
Meanwhile, now everybody's running three and four wide all the time.
That's exactly what it is. And you know what? I think that that's a microcosm of, you know, Ken Niumatalolo, the coach of Navy, and I talked about this last night on College Sports Tonight, the fact that the high school athlete doesn't necessarily have a position like that. You know, the best athlete is the guy that's at the quarterback position in high school. And whether or not he can throw the ball effectively in the pocket is, you know, kind of secondary. So you're seeing a lot of the offenses in college catering towards the prospects that are coming out as five stars in the pros. I mean, in high school. And I think subsequently it's going to affect maybe even the pro game, depending on how instant we need that success to be for whoever's drafting someone. It's best to tailor an offense to this guy's skill set, you know, versus having him learn one that could be completely foreign to him.
And it's funny because you mentioned about high school sports, and, you know, I cover a lot of high school football down here in Texas, and you know, you've got the 7-on-7s, and then you've got all these guys. A lot of the higher octane offenses in high school, they're never under center.
Right, exactly. So you're talking about a guy that, when you're under center, being under center allows route development, because typically you're not supposed to be able to tell. I mean, the guy could be dropping back five steps and hand off on a dive. You know what I'm saying? You have to be smart about it. But it does give time for routes to develop downfield when you're stepping back 5 to 7 yards and then looking through a progression and finding the open receiver. You know what I mean? But then it also comes with, you know, having disciplined route trees, you know what I mean? Being a study and understanding defenses. You know, can you read defenses as an offensive player? Can you read offensive sets as a defensive player? They're a lot savvier nowadays, these high school athletes that are, you know, tasked with being, I mean, these freshmen that come in and have an immediate impact on these programs that we're watching on Saturday.
Now, Brad, you were left tackle, which is, you know, that, look, you're the money position. When you see kids coming out of college today, do they look like you did coming out of college, or are they basically taught, because, you know, so many of these colleges, like you just said, in high school they're not running under center, in college they're not running under center. So are the offensive linemen coming out of college today not necessarily prepared to play NFL football?
You asked that question because you already know the answer to it. Of course they're not coming out ready. I mean, some of these kids don't even know what a three-point stance is. You know, but it, in my experience, first off, I'm not a tackle. You know, I was just a fat tight end. I played the game of mirroring and shadowing with quickness and, you know, diversion and things like that. I didn't overpower anybody that came against me. I was just faster than you were. And I played with leverage and technique. You know, that allowed me to, you know, to be successful. But when you're looking at today's tackles, I mean, they're 6'7", 6'8", you know, well over three bills. And they have relative mobility, but it's not the kind, you know, that you pull on an edge and run toss sweeps to and that kind of stuff with consistency. You know, I think that when you look at today's tackles, they have to be athletic to be able to pick up with some of these sub-4'8" defensive ends, you know what I'm saying, that look like tight ends themselves on the other side of the football. The defensive ends of today's game are creating the mismatches because they do have that speed to get around the edge, but then also turn that into power when necessary when they get an offensive lineman off balance. You know, so I think it's really finding out what the kid's like. You know what I mean? What are you most acclimated in doing? Are you a scoring touchdown kind of guy, or are you getting picks and pressuring the quarterback kind of guy? Find out what intrigues them most about the game of football, and then you just usually dial into it.
In your opinion, how hard is it, you know, to coach a kid up to be ready to play?
The thing is, okay, so this is the thing. I'm never a guy that's going to say, unless you play the game, you have no idea. But I'll tell you what, it's hard to coach offensive line unless you're an offensive lineman. Because you're talking about something that has to work in conjunction with one another. Tackles, guards, centers. You know, and being able to flip the responsibilities if you're playing the left side or the right side. You know, calling out the mic on the defense, knowing where, you know, the blitzes are coming from, where you're protected, understanding the scheme that you're trying to run so that way you know if it's a fast protection or a long protection. And if you're not a guy that, you know, that understands those little nuances, the minutia of communicating, sometimes it's even subliminal. It's not even, you don't even say anything. You just understand the moment or what you recognize, and you get the job done in that way. And I will say this, players that play this game at a certain level, they respect other players that have played the game at that certain level. And it's kind of hard for a guy that's making, you know, $5-6 million a year to take coaching from a former linebacker on his pre-existing staff. You see what I'm saying? And sometimes it happens like that. You'd be surprised at how many guys are filling spots because they're just, quote, on the staff. You know what I mean? And there's a need for, you know, someone to be the run game coordinator. Well, all of a sudden the dude that was running special teams, he's your offensive line coach. And that does these kids a disservice that already are in dire need of that kind of coaching that puts them in the right position.
No, we always talk about the offensive line being, you know, the single most important unit because it's the only – it's really the only position group where everybody has to be on the same page every time or disaster.
Think about this, though. I mean, as a left tackle, I might be going up against a pretty good defensive end. But if all of a sudden the mic is blitzing the A-gap, going right between the guard and the center every single time and sacking the quarterback, what difference does it make how good I am? We as a unit are breaking down. You know, so we have to work together as like a chain link fence, so to speak. You know what I mean? And work together to make sure that we all have success. Because it does me no good to be dominating my side of the football if we're so porous on the other side of the football that we can't move it.
Talking with Brad Hopkins. Former Pro Bowler, former All-Pro, offensive tackle, 13 years in the NFL, now with SiriusXM NFL Radio. Brett, in your opinion, when you see, you know, guys who are drafted high, you know, whether it's a Luke Jokel or the guy Eric Flowers or mm-hmm. these guys who are drafted up really high, top 15 picks, and it just, like, it doesn't work, like it doesn't connect. Is that something that you pin on the player doesn't want to get it? Are they not being coached the right way? Because obviously a lot of people saw a lot of talent in these guys that they were, you know, pretty much universally. Somebody was going to take them high. They weren't going to fall. Somebody was going to get them. Where is the disconnect?
You know what? I coached Luke Jokel before combines. If we're talking about the same Luke Jokel that came out of Tennessee as a tight end, am I right?
No, Luke, the guy was drafted offensive tackle.
I'm thinking Stalker. I'm sorry. I'm thinking Luke Stalker. I get my names mixed up, these college kids in the pro game. Matter of fact, Luke Stalker is actually playing tight end for us now here in Tennessee. And you're talking about Luke Joeckel, the offensive lineman. You're right. I'm sorry. Let me say this. When I first came into the league, John McClain used to write stories about me being the bust because I didn't understand the philosophy of the offense, because I didn't understand the nuances like I just talked about. And I was still working on my technique. So I remember for the first couple of years, I struggled handily, you know what I mean, until I finally found something I could, like, hang my hat on and just work that with consistency until I caught up with where I needed to be. I think I got a relatively slow start, and because of my draft status being the 13th pick of the draft, there was a lot of pressure put on me. And when you see me struggling out there against speed rushers or struggling about reading defenses or the things that I just really wasn't accustomed to in this style offense, it made me I looked like crap. You know, but eventually I stuck with it and gained enough confidence after learning the style of technique that works best for me. You know, I ended up, you know, parlaying that into going to the Pro Bowl a couple of times and the Super Bowl and all this other stuff. But it wasn't easy by any stretch. You know what I mean? And I think it's really being comfortable and understanding sometimes the logic that goes in what they're asking you to do.
Yeah, it's these are all, you know, really the psychology and the you know, the everything that you need to do as a lineman. These are things that often, you know, don't get talked about. They get overlooked, and you know, guys are just like, oh, this guy's good. Ah, this guy stinks. There's never the peeling back of the onion is, well, why is it not connecting? Why is he not performing well? And how do we get him better?
And think about this. And no one likes making excuses. But let's just say that the quarterback, in reading what he's trying to read, drifts to the left or the right. Or let's just say that, you know, anything can happen in a play that we would, you know, basically say it's the lineman's fault or it's this. You ever heard of a covered sack? You know what I mean? That means that basically the linemen are up there working their butts off, you know, overtime to make sure that the ball gets out of the hands of the quarterback. But when there's nowhere to go with it, he just has to eat it sometimes. Well, who gets the blame for that? The guys up front. You know what I mean? Because there are guys that are actually making the effort to get in the backfield. So there are a lot of, you know, little equations that play into this whole deal of having a successful offense. And also, it's not just, you have to have a balance. You know what I mean? I remember sometimes when guys would be in a two-point stance for a pass and three-point stance for a run, not even realizing they're tipping an advantage to the defense that knows exactly what we're doing because of how they're standing. You know, so being able to balance it out, being able to be effective in the run game and be effective in the pass game, that's the ultimate goal of any good offensive line.
Brad Hopkins played 13 years in the NFL with the Houston Oilers and then Tennessee Titans. Man, it's you know, you are, you know, one of the few guys who, you know, overlaps both of those eras. And, you know, you were one of the last guys to be a part of the old Houston Oilers. Wasn't it you and Steve McNair? You were like the last two Mohicans.
We were the last two as a matter of fact, active Houston Oilers until Steve went to Baltimore, and I retired in 06. It's really cool because we just had Alumni Weekend here in Tennessee, and I also experienced Alumni Weekend for the Oilers this spring. You know what I mean? So, you know, getting to experience the two different eras and understanding that there really is a gap between the two, and I'm a bridge. Guys like Frank Wycheck are a bridge. Chris Sanders were a bridge. You know what I mean? It's fun to have that kind of recognition in your portfolio, if you will.
It's funny you mention that because I talking to so many guys who played for the Oilers but were never part of the move to Tennessee, a lot of those guys, they kind of feel like, you know, they're homeless. They don't have a team because, you know, there are no Houston Oilers. And
wow, that's great. That's, yeah.
There's no,
I'm sorry.
You can't have it, you know, the Texans don't own, you know, that's not their team, the different franchise,
right.
And the Titans aren't the Oilers. They're the Titans now, and the guys who never made the, you never, weren't part of the team when they moved, feel like they don't really have that home team to go back to.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, the St. Louis Rams still exist. The Baltimore Ravens, the old Cleveland Browns, they still exist. You know, it's hard for people to look at the Houston Oilers still existing because we've moved cities and the fact that our team has been replaced by the Texans. you know, I think that it's hard sometimes for people to extrapolate the fact that there is, like, that lost franchise. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you're a kid that was born, like, you know, 2010 or 2015 on, what do you know of the Houston Oilers? Even if you're a Titans fan. You know what I mean? So I think it is unique in the fact that, you know, our franchise was basically, I can't say buried, but once the Houston Texans got there, it pretty much overshadowed, I guess, you know, our existence and therefore the need for football in the city of Houston.
Brad Hopkins, 13 years in the NFL, now with SiriusXM NFL Radio. Follow him on Twitter at B_Hop72. Brad, I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope we get to talk to you again soon.
Of course, anytime, you guys. Take care.
All right, Brad Hopkins, SiriusXM NFL, with us on the BetDSI.com Inside Line. Our guest lines are brought to you by BetDSI.com. Use promo code WIN125, get 125% bonus on your initial deposit when you sign up with BetDSI.com.